It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
You know, sometimes back surgery, as scary as it sounds, is the last resort for people with back pain. If you've ever had a really bad back, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But sometimes the back surgery can fail, and my guest is Dr. Marshall Better, and he's a boarded anesthesiologist and pain med doctor. So, Dr. Better, tell us a little bit about back surgery and the possibility that it fails. I mean, everyone hates those words, back surgery. It's like two very scary words.
It can be scary, and of course, you know, probably 90% plus of patients who have back problems never go on to have surgery. So that's the good news. But when you really need surgery, then of course you see a neurosurgeon or an orthospine surgeon, and there are certain surgeries that really it's easy to predict that they're going to do well for you, or it's more easy to predict, and that's when you have a disc and you have pain going down your leg. So we call that, you know, a nerve root that's compressed. So that's pretty easy. If you take that piece of disc off that nerve root, you have a better chance of doing well. If you have a back that's not stable and there's movement where there should not be movement, that's where a surgeon would go in and do a fusion. And that's predictably usually a good result. But a lot of times it's not so clear cut. And so surgery is often done not for the actual, maybe, problem, underlying physical, anatomical problem. And that's where you have patients who don't get a good result, and then they still have issues. Now, you can have patients who have had the right surgery. They have a discectomy. They have a laminotomy or a laminectomy. I mean, taking the bone off the top of the spine to decompress the spine. Well, these patients can develop scarring, fibrosis, afterwards, and so they go on to have pain, and this has all been lumped into this term called failed back surgery syndrome.
Now, in a laminotomy, for an example, certainly more or less invasive than a laminectomy,
yes.
And still scar tissue develops, and then the pain kind of comes back after a few years, and then it's considered, what, a failed sort of surgery syndrome. And then what do you do as a result of that? Do you have to go back and have it done again or something gone and cleaned up the scar tissue a bit? What is then the next move?
Well, the problem is that there are, and we realize now, have been too many repeat back operations. It has been shown clearly that reoperating to try and get rid of the scar tissue is 100% ineffective. Do not do that. So you can't clear out the scar tissue thinking it's going to go away. You'll get more scar tissue. So if you've had injections and you've had chiropractic and you've had exercises and physical therapy before you go to your surgery, then you have your surgery and that's not working and you develop scarring, it's not just a matter of repeating the same old that you've done before. You may have to look at something different. And so in select cases, that's where spinal cord stimulation can be an answer for some of these folks who have residual nerve pain, especially from scarring.
Okay, so tell the listeners, what is spinal cord stimulation and how can that help them, and does it help in the long run?
Well, spinal cord stimulation has actually been around 1967, and it's made some tremendous advances as, you know, technology changes and the new systems come out. And if you want to think about it, you think about it as a pacemaker for the spine as opposed to a pacemaker for your heart. It actually sends little electrical stimulation along the spine through small little electrodes that are inserted, and we do a trial. So the patient can test drive this beforehand. And if they get a really great result, at least a 50% improvement in pain, we look for a reduction in pain meds, and we really look for an improvement in activity of daily living. And if we see a change, then we can implant the small little generator. These generators are rechargeable. They last a long time. And this can provide relief for pain of the low back, pain of the lower extremities. In fact, it actually is approved by the FDA for trunkal or extremity pain.
Wow. So now this is something that you test drive, as you say. You see if it works for you as a stimulator. And then it could be sort of what, permanently implanted.
Correct.
And so then it's there. Now, what are the complications of this?
Well, with any invasive procedure, there's always or can be a complication, but the complications with spinal cord stimulation have been reducing over time as people have better technique, as people get better equipment. So, you know, even with a knee surgery or with a hip surgery, you can always get an infection. Well, same with this, but the rate is around 1% to 2% or less. As far as major injury to the spine and paralysis, that is exceedingly low, because these leads can be placed very simply, just as you would place an epidural for someone having a labor epidural. Very similar technique. So this is something, the technique has been around a long time. So there can be risk. The one risk might be that the lead could move over time, and it may need to be, readjusted. But those are the types of things one would look at.
Now, so someone's had surgery, they like their doctor, but now they've got failed back surgery syndrome. I'm an exercise physiologist. I do rehab on these people that you're discussing every single day for the last 20 years.
Right.
And so I see this. I see it every day. But usually the people go back to the doctor that did the surgery. Mm-hmm. They, right away assume, oh, well, as you say, people get it redone, whatever. So who would they go to see about a spinal cord stimulator or to find out if there are some different kinds of methods to fix the problem when it comes back?
Well, there are some neurosurgeons or orthospine surgeons who are involved with spinal cord stimulation, but many do not. There are pain medicine specialists like myself who utilize all techniques to try and eliminate the need for initial surgeries or even repeat surgeries. So they may want to look for someone different. Often their primary care physician can help direct them. They may have insurance that has a network of providers that are pain physicians that can be utilized. It depends on their insurance and where they are. They can go to a website like controlyourpain.com, and that might give them information on physicians who utilize spinal cord stimulation for pain control.
Well, and pain management is really a burgeoning field today. It's so up and coming it's already here because people have so many different kinds of neuralgias and pain from their back and, all these different problems that pain management itself as a whole medical career is really taking care of, isn't it?
That is correct. And of course, we have an aging population with the baby boomers. So we are seeing more people who want to remain active. And I think that's really something we have to understand. This is for quality of life. And often insurers, they'll pay for life-threatening things, but they don't want to pay for quality of life issues. But if we can keep patients active and moving, well, then they're going to reduce their weight, they're going to keep their diabetes in check, and this actually helps overall health. So it's not just, pain relief for pain relief's sake. It's for quality of life, and for its maintenance of your activities of daily living.
So in the last minute or so, do you have some best advice, Dr. Better, for people who are considering back surgery?
I think you should always look at your options and don't just accept that the surgeon says we're going to reoperate or even that he says we're going to operate. Get a second opinion and maybe from someone different. Some people will see a neurosurgeon, and maybe they should also talk to an orthospine surgeon to get a little different point of view. They may also talk to a pain specialist. I think we have to be very careful today to be smart consumers in all things, including healthcare.
Well, that certainly is true. We have to be our own best advocate. And if your doctor says he wants to do surgery, there is absolutely nothing wrong with getting a second opinion, maybe from even a different kind of doctor. Because then you've got somebody like Dr. Better who's saying, well, you can try this first, or you can try this, a spinal cord stimulator. So there are other options out there, and maybe you don't have to suffer from failed back surgery syndrome. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD. You can listen anytime, on demand or on the go. Stay well.